Good evening, everybody. It's a great covet, as has seemingly become the minig the last few years, for my father to come on one of the nights of Hanukkah, and we thank him very much. And thank you, everybody, as well, for taking the time out to come to learn Torah this evening without wasting any more time. Please,
I was asked to discuss the topic of Mahajan, Menah Mahajan, and Chumris. The Gemara tells us when the Chachamim introduced the Takana of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, they built in from the very first, three different levels. That the Ikar HaMitzvah is that one person should light for each, for the whole family, just one candle. And then if you want to do Mahadrin, you light Ner Lecha Lechad V'yechad. And you want to do Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, then you do even the first night you light one, the second night you light two. So the Pnei Yeshua in his commentary on that Gemara points out, isn't this unusual? Where else do we find such a thing that the Chachamim instituted from the very outset in the Takana Mahadrin and Mahadrin and a Mahadrin? So to answer the question, he poses another question, and he suggests an answer that answers both kashas. The other question is, why was there really a need for this miracle that the oil burned for 8 days? Even if all of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash would be tameh, we have a din that if you have no brera, so you're permitted to be makor korbanos in the state of tumah. And the din applies to the oil in the menorah as well. It's like hakrovas hakorban. You're supposed to burn the oil in the menorah. So if you have no shem and you have no oil, that's tahor. So the din says you're permitted to fill the menorah with tamidik oil and fulfill a mitzvah that way. It's like a korban tzibur is mutter in a state of tumah. So the Pnei Yeshua says that's correct. They would have been able to fulfill a mitzvah with shem and tami, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the Jewish people so much, he went out of his way, he made a miracle that they should be able to fulfill a mitzvah l'mahadrin. They should be able to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa. More correct is to fulfill a mitzvah with shem and tohar. And if you got stuck, if you have no brera, then you're permitted to fulfill a mitzvah with shem and tami as well. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way, laharis chibosim shal yisot, to show how much he loves the Jewish people, he made a miracle that we should be able to fulfill a mitzvah, bihidura. So that's what motivated the Chachamim when they made the takana, that they should make takanas with mahadrin and mahadrin and mahadrin. So this is an issue, this is a topic that is discussed in Poskim. When does it make sense? It's not the same thing, mahadrin and chumras. We're going to talk about chumras. When does it make sense to introduce chumras? When does it not make sense to introduce chumras? So we know the Gemara tells us that if you have a sofik deraisa, you go to chumra. Okay? Sofik deraisa means if it's something close to 50-50. Either a sofik what the facts are, or a sofik what the din is. So that we understand. If you know what the facts are, it's just a sofik what the din is, and it's a machloikas, then you follow the roif. Acher rab nahatas, the pasuk says. The Gemara says in the many disputes between the Bishama and the Bishilol, in the overwhelming majority of the cases, we paskin like the Bishilol. And the Gemara says one of the reasons why, because the Beis Hillel were in the majority, they outvoted the Beis Shammai. So the Halacha says you follow the Roif. Despite the fact that the Beis Hillel were in the majority, and we're supposed to follow the Roif, the Gemara says a Baskol came out from heaven and said we always pass like Beis Hillel. So after the Baskol came out, so we always follow Beis Hillel. But even before the Baskol came out from heaven, the Gemara says, those who were Talmidim of Damai had the right to follow Bisham. Those who were Talmidim by Beis Hillel, follow Beis Hillel's Shita. What's the halacha? But the majority were like, the Rav were like Beis Hillel, so how come the Beis Shammai are permitted to follow their opinion? So the Gemara seems to be telling us that if a person is a Talmid Chacham and he's entitled to an opinion, so then Chacham Shehigir Lo Hayrosi, so he's allowed to pass on his own. He doesn't have to follow what his Rebbe says. He has a right to disagree with the Rebbe. Not so many people are entitled to an opinion. But if the person is not entitled to an opinion, so you look around, you know there's Svarim full of different opinions. So which opinion do you follow? There's always Machlekes on everything. So which Shita do you follow? So the Halacha says each person should follow Rabbi Muvok, whoever his outstanding Rebbe is. So the Gemara tells us that in the village where the Tana Rab Leza was the rabbi, he was the Mardasri, even years after he passed away, they always followed his opinions, and there used to be Mechal Shabbos, when there was a bris on Shabbos, not only would there be Mechal Shabbos to perform the bris, they would carry the knife, they would manufacture the knife on Shabbos, he held that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for even the Hachonis, even the Hechsher Milo, even the other acts that lead up to the bris Milo. And even though he was outvoted, and we don't pass him like that. And if anybody would do it today, we would call him a Shegetz, he's a Machal Shabbos. But because Reb Lezer was entitled to his opinions in his village, even years after he passed away, he was the Madastra, so they followed his sheet. He was the Rebbe Muvak. Then the Gemara says there was a Machloikas regarding chicken and milk. Does it make sense to make a Gzera de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to have chicken with milk? So the Tana Rabbi Yosef Glili held it doesn't make any sense. Who's going to confuse chicken with flesh? The prohibition of Basa B'cholam in Atara only applies to flesh that's cooked with milk. And chicken is not at all the same as flesh. So he held it doesn't make sense to make a Gzera de Rabbanon. He was outvoted, and we passed him that it is awesome. The Gemara says if somebody eats chicken with milk, he's supposed to put him in Cherem. He's supposed to put him in Nida because he's violating the Din de Rabbanon. But Mekamasha Rabbi Yosef Glili, in his village, where he was the Rav, even years after he passed away, they followed his opinion. He was the Mar D'Asra, and the Mar D'Asra has the status of Rabbi Muvak if the Mar D'Asra is entitled to an opinion. Okay? Rabbi Yosef Glili was entitled to an opinion. Rabbi Lezer was entitled to an opinion. So the din is, whenever a person, if the person is a chacham shehigia lo hayroi, then he's entitled to his own opinion. He doesn't have to follow his rebbe. If he's not higia lo hayroi, he has to follow his rebbe muvah. So those who were talmidim of the Beis Shammai, they follow Beis Shammai's opinion. It doesn't matter the fact that Beis Shammai were outvoted by the Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai were entitled to their opinion, and their talmidim have a right, an obligation to follow their rebbe muvah. As far as the rest of the world is concerned, those who are neither Talmidim by Beis Shammai nor Talmidim by Beis Hillel, so they have to follow the majority. The majority was Beis Hillel. So the halacha says, what happens if a person has more than one Rebbe Muvak? I look up to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and to the Big Shulchan Aruch and to the Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Shach and the Mishnah Brura and the Chayyadim. Ashkenazim look up to 500 Gedolim. Sephardim also look up to 500 Gedolim. Many of them we share in common, but many of them are different. So the Gemara says, if you have more than one Rebbe Muvak, so you have to follow the majority opinion, the consensus of the Rabbis of HaMuvhokim. So the Sephardim have, let's say, probably a list of 500 Rabbanim who they look up to as Rebbe Muvak. So they follow the majority of their Poskim. So they always amped up with a Sephardi Psak. Ashkenazim have this overlap. We all look up to Rashi and Rabbi Natam and the Rambam and the Ramban and Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah. We all have a lot of overlap. But there's a lot of names in the list of Rebbe Muvak that Ashkenazim have on their list that the Sephardim don't have. So on our list, an Ashkenazi list of Rebbe Muvak, so we have a list of 500 Gedolim, so we follow the majority of those Poskim. So that's why there's a split between the Sephardi Psak and the Ashkenazi Psak. So the Gemara has a comment, when there was still the many machlekes in between the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, and the Talmidim of Beis Shammai were following their Rabbeim, and the Talmidim of Beis Hillel were following their Rabbeim. So the Gemara says, one who, everybody knows they were kulas and chumris, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, each one had kulas and chumris. So the Gemara says, the one who follows all of the kulas of Beis Shammai and all the kulas of Beis Hillel is a Rasha, he's a faker. What is he, just following all the kulas? And the one who follows all the chumris of Beis Shammai and all the chumris of Beis Hillel, he's a nar, he's a tipish. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Koheles, haksil b'chay shecholach, that the Nar is walking in the darkness. Well, it doesn't make sense that you should observe all the Chumras. The Gemara says, pick whom you follow. Either you follow the Beis Shammai, or you follow the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara asks Hakasha in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. There is, among the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you have in the first mission in Rosh Hashanah, when is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis? Is it Tu B'Shvat? That's what we assume. Or is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat? So the Mishnah says this was a dispute between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What's the difference whether Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? What they say on Sana Toikiv? What do they say on Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? What's on Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? The question is, the pears that grow in the tree, if the development of the pears was before Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to last year. But if it developed after Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to next year. The shad is, are you mafrish ma'aseh sheni? Are you mafrish ma'aseh rani? What year does it belong to? You're not supposed to be mafrish pears that grew in one year and pears that grew in a different year. So this is relevant. This machlek is b'sham and b'sil. When is Rosh Hashanah le'ilon? So Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was machmer in both directions. The pears that had a chanota, the pears that grew on the tree, and they're ripening, they were developed in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. So Rabbi Akiva was machmer to be mafrish both ma'aseh sheni and ma'aseh rani. It was a toss-up between a ma'aseh sheni year and a ma'aseh rani. It was machmer to both. So the Gemara says, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that haksil b'choy shecholach? He's machmer like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He should have followed Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says he wasn't sure what the tradition was. What did Beis Hillel say? He knew that there was a machlekes bishame b'silo, whether Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat, and he wasn't sure which way did whatever b'silo say. That's how he paskened, but he pashut had a suffix. What did b'silo say? So because he wasn't sure, so that's a pashut suffix. Of course, he has to go to Chumer. He had no choice. But if you know what the different poskim say, then you're going to be machmel like both shittas. And then the Gemara says that's a narish guy. That's called haksil b'choy shecholech. Many years ago, we had a guest lecturer in Yeshiva University. They always have guest lecturers. Every month in Donnerstag, they have all kinds of guests. So this fellow gave a whole dissertation. He published it later on about the six differences, the six nafkeminis between centrist Orthodox and right-wing Orthodox. So he read a whole list of six nafkeminis, and one of them was Chumrah. That the whole idea of Hamachmer Tov Ala Bracha, this is what the students told me, this is what he said. The whole concept of Hamachmer Tov Ala Bracha, to be Machmer, was invented by the Mishnah Berurah, never existed before. And this is from the right wing. The Mishnah Berurah belongs to the right wing, and the Central Orthodox don't believe in Chumrah. So one of the students told me this, and he says that he popped up, and the yeshiva was learning Shabbos then. This was something like 20 years ago probably. So the yeshiva was learning Shabbos, and this student had learned the Tosfos and Perikira, where Tosfos has that expression, Hamachmer Tov Ala Bracha. The Gemara has a shaila about putting salt in a klisheni. If you have a bowl of soup in a klisheni, usually klisheni is not mevashel, unless it's something that's Kali Habishul. So the Gemara has two lishainis, two versions, where the salt is Kali Habishul or not. If it's light to cook, if it's very easy to cook, then it'll be Bishul even in klisheni. So Tosfos recommends you should be Machmer. So the fellow tells me, he piped up and he said, the expression appears in Tosfos. He's right, it does appear in Tosfos. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in the Tosfos, Hamachmer Tov Ala Broch. So there Tosfos recommends to be Machmer because they're simply not convinced what the din is. They say the Gemara has two versions where the salt is considered Kali Habishul or not. And Tosfos is not so sure what the din is. So therefore, they recommend that one should be Machmer. But does it make sense to be Machmer even if you know what the din is? If the din is Lehokel, does it make sense to be Machmer? So Chacham Avad Yosef has a tshuva on everything. So he has a tshuva on this too. He wrote many, many tshuvas. So he has a lot to say about everything. So he writes, if a person was nichshal in an iser, a person fell in, something is mutter, and he did it. And then he finds out that what he did was a mistake. He really violated an Issa. So then it makes sense that he should adopt upon himself a chumrah. So he gives a mashal. The Maharam Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rosh. So the Maharam Rutenberg is quoted as having said that Me'ikar Adin, if you have cheese, you just rinse your mouth out and you can have fleishiks right away. But on one occasion he had cheese, hard cheese, and then he rinsed his mouth out and then he had fleish afterwards, and then he realized that the cheese was caught in between his teeth. And from that time on, he accepted upon himself personal, as a chumrah, he didn't paskin a din, he accepted a personal private chumrah to wait 6 hours in between hard cheese and flesh, because he fell in, because he realized that he fell in on that occasion. So Chacham Avadya quotes Achreinim and say, if you personally fell in and you want to adopt a personal chumrah, matov, that's wonderful. You have such a similar thing. The Gemara in Perik Elutrefus, in the third Perik in Chulin, so the Mishnah discusses how do you identify whether any given bird is kosher or treif? How do we identify whether fish are kosher or treif? So the Pasuk says if it has snapi v'kaskesis, has fins and scales. How do you identify whether any given animal is kosher or treif? If it's malager, amaf is parsa. How do we identify if any bird is kosher or treif? So the Pasuk doesn't give you any simonim. The Pasuk tells you a list of all the treif of birds, and anything that's not on the list is kosher. How do you know which are the treif of birds? So the Tanoim and the Gemara have a whole discussion. What are the simonim? How do you determine, how do you establish whether any given bird is kosher or treif? So the Gemara tells a story that the Amoraim in Bavel knew the simonim, and then there was a new bird that they never saw before, and they decided this is a kosher bird based on the simonim, and they were eating it. And then they realized that they misidentified. They made a mistake and they were eating a non-kosher bird. That's the end of the story. So Rashi on the Gemara recommends if the Helige Amoraim fell in, they misidentified a bird. So Rashi recommends it's a good idea you should never eat a bird based on the simonim of the Gemara because you may misidentify as well. You should only eat a bird if you have a tradition. Chickens, we have a tradition that it's kosher. So if you have a masorah that this is a kosher bird, good. If you don't have a masorah, Rashi recommends you shouldn't eat such a bird. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rashi, that the Rashi was quoted by the Sefer Issa v'Heter. There was a Rabbeinu Yonah who wrote the commentary on the back, who wrote the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah who wrote the commentary on the Rif. That was Rabbeinu Yonah HaSfardi. He was a Mechutna of the Ramban. Then there was another Rabbeinu Yonah who had nothing to do with that Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, who wrote the Issa v'Heter HaOruch. And the Ramban, every page in Shulchan Aruch always quotes from the Issa v'Heter. On the standard edition of the Issa v'Heter, they write on the first page, written by the Rabbeinu Yonah Girondi. It's a mistake. That's a different Rabbeinu Yonah. This Rabbeinu Yonah never quotes any Chachm Esfard, only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. It's a different Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. So the Ramah quotes this from the Rabbeinu Yonah in Issa v'Heter, Rashi's recommendation. You should never eat any bird based on the Siman, based on identifying that it's a kosher animal, because the Amoraim fell in. They misidentified that we should adopt such a chumrah. So these chumras are quoted in Shulchan Aruch to wait. It's not only a personal private chumrah. They recommend it for everyone to wait 6 hours after having hard cheese, because the Maharam Rutenberg once fell in, and they recommend for everybody not to eat any birds based on the simonim that the Gemara gives, because a person may misidentify. We understand this. The Mesillas Yesharim explains what this is all about. We have the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achri Mois, reads Ushmatem is Mishmarti, Levilti Asos, Michalkos, Atoivos, Aela, etc. So the Gemara in Yevamos understands on that phrase Ushmatem is Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres Le Mishmarti, Asay Siog La Torah. You shouldn't think that whatever is mutter you're allowed to do, you should make a little harchoke. You should always have a siog. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes that a lot of people make a mistake. They think that this requirement, Asay Siog La Torah, is an instruction to the Rabbonim. It's an instruction to the Bez Nagodol. He says it's not so. It's an instruction to each and every individual person. If you are a professor in a university, and because of your circumstance in America, because of your university, if you are in this business, you are in that business, you live in this country, you live in this generation, based on your circumstances and your profession and your generation, you have a chashash, you may do an aveira, so you have to make asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, and a person shouldn't argue the point and say, but the Tanoim, the Gemara never prohibited this, if the Tanoim never asked it, so it's mutter. So the Mesillas Yesharim says that's a mistake. What it says in the Gemara that you're not allowed to do, that's called Dova Hashava L'chol Nefesh. That applies to everybody, even if you're at Tzaddik sitting and learning at a Beis Medrash all day long. And how are you going to have a Yetzirah? Where are you going to fall in? Where are you going to make an Aveira? Where are you going to do an Aveira? So whatever the Chachamim prohibited, that applies to everybody. But if you personally, based on your circumstances, you have a Hashash that you may be Nichshol, so you have to observe a Shmartem is Mishmarti. Every person has to make a Harchoke and a Siok for himself. So this is not considered a chumrah. This is a real din. If a person sees that there's a chashash that he may fall in, especially if he once did fall in, you see the Amoraim fell in and made a mistake, so we recommend Ushmartem is Mishmarti. One should be Machmer on his own. Chacham Avadya talks a lot, he quotes always Poskim. Sometimes we would recommend the person should be machmer for himself, but he shouldn't paskin for others. L'chumr, if the din is that it's mutter, it's mutter. And sometimes we would even recommend he should be machmer for others if he's afraid that the other fellow is going to fall in. So you should tell him, you should have a hachoke, u'shmartem es mishmarti. What if you have a situation where it's clear what the din is? Nobody fell in, nobody made a mistake. It's just a machlekes what the halach is. Does it make sense to be machmer for the shita that's not accepted? If the shita is not accepted, we should ignore it. So we have sources in the Gemara for this. The Gemara in Brochas has a machlekes bishame bishilol. The din requires that if a person ate bread, he has to recite Birchas Hamazon. He should really recite Birchas Hamazon in the same location where he ate the bread. He shouldn't, if he eats the sandwich here, he shouldn't go home and bench over there. He should bench in the same place. So what happens if by mistake he forgot and he went home? He forgot to bench b'mkomo. So that's a machlokes b'sham and misil. Do we require of the person, if shochach b'shegeg, would we require that he has to go back and bench b'chas ha'mozim b'mkomo? So b'sham say, even if b'shegeg, he left the location where he ate, he has to go back and bench b'mkomo. And misil say it's not necessary, he can bench where he is. So the Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Talmidim of Bais Hillel ate bread and he forgot to bench b'mkom and he went home and then he realized that he forgot to bench. He went. He was machmer like the Beis Shammai. You're not supposed to be machmer like Beis Shammai. He went back and he benched b'mkom and he was rewarded min ha-shamayim and he found a wallet full of money. So Tosfos asks, why was he rewarded? He did a stupidity. Why is he machmer like Beis Shammai? You're not supposed to be machmer like Beis Shammai. So Tosfos says, no, even Beis Hillel agree that it makes sense to be machmer. Beis Hillel also agree that the din requires he's supposed to bench Brichos HaMazon from it. Beis Hillel just told, if Bishoigig, he left, if he went Bemezid, he knows he's supposed to bench here. And on purpose, he violated the din, he goes somewhere else, then even Beis Hillel agree he has to go back and bench Bemkom. The whole machleg of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is only if he left Bishoigig, by mistake. So even if Beis Hillel agree, more correct is to go back and bench Bemkom, but just that we don't require of you to go back. But if you go back, even Beis Hillel agree that you're doing the proper thing. So that makes sense to be machma. It's not that you're machma like the Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel also agree that that's the more correct thing to do. The Gemara has, though, concepts like this, to be machmir, even though the din is clearly lahakil. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yecheskel HaNovi. Yecheskel HaNovi is begging of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a break about a certain thing. So he asks the Rabbanu Shalom, give me a break. Nevela trefa lo yachalti. I never ate nevelas. So the Gemara says, what is he begging? Have rachmanis on me. I never ate nevelas. An Orthodox Jew doesn't eat nevelas. So what midas chasidus did he do over here that he's asking give me a break? So the Gemara says, no, he wouldn't eat from a behema shahara b'chochem. If there'll be a shaila, and a shaila whether the animal is kosher or treif, and they had to ask a shaila, and they had to kvetch a kula, so that was his chumra, he wouldn't eat behema shahara b'chochem. They say such a story about the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim's first wife passed away, before he remarried, his second wife came to America after the war. But his first wife passed away, so in between the first wife and the second wife, so he had a Jewish girl cooking food in the kitchen for him. And he used to have boys from the yeshiva eat by him on Shabbos. So once on Friday night, the Jewish woman served the soup, and everybody was eating the soup, so the Chafetz Chaim, it was an old man already, so he asked one of the talmidim, could you please go into the kitchen and ask the girl whether the soup is kosher? So he thought it was senile. What do you mean, ask the girl for soup is kosher? A religious girl. So he made believe he didn't hear anything, and he just continued eating his soup. Chafetz Chaim didn't eat his soup, and he didn't get angry. He just waited a minute or two. Then he asked him again, could you please go into the kitchen and ask the girl if the soup is kosher? So again, he didn't want to go in. What kind of ridiculous, I thought it was mamish senile. So he didn't do anything, and then he asked him a third time. He waited without being angry. He asked him a third time, please go into the kitchen and ask the girl if the soup is kosher. So he didn't know what to do. So the Bacher went into the kitchen, and he said, I don't know what this means, he says, but the Chafetz Chaim asked me to ask you whether the soup is kosher. So she said, ay, 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 go tell him he shouldn't eat the soup. He gave me instructions, whenever there's a shayla on the chicken, and I show it to the Rav, and the Rav is Mekel, I shouldn't give him. He didn't want to eat. Then I had a shayla on the chicken, and the Rav was Mekel. Tell him he shouldn't eat the soup. He's right. He shouldn't eat the soup. That's what he meant. A friend of mine told me he was once at a wedding, and one of his friends was learning Yerideya, so he asked Rav Moshe, his friend asked Rav Moshe Feinstein a shayla and Yerideya halacha. So Rav Moshe didn't realize that the guy didn't know Yerideya. Rav Moshe thought that he was testing him. So Rav Moshe told him, the Beferish Pimagadim says lahakel. And then Rav Moshe made a comment to the Rav next to him. In Yiddish, he said, he thinks he's going to chat me in an offen a prima garden. The guy didn't know it's a prima garden. He's just asking him what's a din. So Rav Moshe says, an offen a prima garden, that it's mutter. And then the bacher from the yeshiva, the young man, the avrech, asked Rav Moshe, maybe I should be machme because behema shahara b'chacham. So Rav Moshe said, what are you talking behema shahara b'chacham? Because you're an Amharetz. That's not called behema. Behema shahara b'chacham means if there was a shaila, and the Rav had to work hard till he kvetched toi sehete, and there's a tzad to say that it's us. That's called behema shahara. You don't know the prima godim. You're an Amharetz. That's not called behema shahara b'chacham. But there is such a concept. If there was a shaila on something, so there is such a midas chasidus. Yecheskel HaNovi had that, and the Chafetz Chaim has such a chumra, not to eat behema shahara b'chacham. So we have not only if a Rav had to work hard till he kvetched oise heter, that there's a concept of being machmer, that's considered a sofik holdu. Sofik, the Raisa Luchumi means if it's 50-50 sofik. Here it's not a 50-50 sofik. The Chacham came out lahokil, but it's a sofik holdu. So as an act of Midas Chasidus, Yecheskel HaNovi says, and Tzadikim in every generation have such a hanhoge, not to eat behema shor b'chacham. So the Mishnah has such a similar concept. If you have a machlekes hatanoim, and Rav hatanoim say lahakel, and there's a shita sayochid lahachmer, so the Mishnayis and Beitzer write that as a midas chasidus, there is a concept of being machmer like the Shita Sayachid, even though it was not accepted la'alochem. What is that all about? If you don't accept the la'alochem, so the Mishkan Es Yankiv has in his Sefer on Brachas that's called Koheles Yankiv, on Daf Yud Aleph, he explains that the Gemara in Erevin has an expression, Eile li'eile divrei l'kim chaim. When you have so many machlokes in the Shammai Bisilo, and we usually pass on like the Bisilo in most of the cases, so it doesn't mean that the Shita that's rejected is wrong. Doesn't mean it made a mistake. They were both working with the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. Bishami came up with such a conclusion, and Basil came up with such a conclusion. Halacha l'maaseh, you have to follow one way. So we follow the Roi, we follow Basil. But it doesn't mean Bishami is wrong. It means halacha l'maaseh, we don't follow them. But since it is a Cheftza Shel Torah, Bishami, when you study Bishami Shita, it's a Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And there is a certain sense of, there is a certain degree of validity to the Bishami Shita. So since we say El V'El Divi L'Kim Chaim, so it constitutes Amidas Chassidus to be Machmer like the Shita that's not accepted. In a certain sense, it's a Sofik Koldehu. And the Mishkan Es Yankiv explains, you have other halachas like that. You have whenever there's a Machlokes in Hilchas Avelus, and the Moira Hayro doesn't have his own personal opinion, if he's entitled to an opinion, and he holds L'Hachmer, so let him pass on L'Hachmer. But if he doesn't have his own personal opinion, if he's not entitled to an opinion, so whenever there's a machlokes, even if it's Yochid Mekel, the Rabbi Machmirim, so the Gemara says you don't go Basarayv, because in Hilchas Avelus, halachiket Rav Mekel Ba'ovel. Whenever there's any Sofik Koldehu, you go Lekulam. Whenever there's a machlokes, and Rav say Lechumra, Miyud say Lehokel, that's called the Sofik Koldehu. So we would be Mekel and Avelus, and we would be Mekel and Sofik Arlo B'chutz Loretz. And here, it would constitute a Midas Chassidus to be Machmer for that opinion. Is the same true regarding a Machlokes HaRishonim, how to read a Gemara, or is it only true in a Machlokes HaTanoim, Machlokes in the Gemara? So that's a question. So the Tosfos, there's a famous Tosfos in the beginning of Ksubas. In the Yeshivas, they don't get so far. Yeshivas, they just learn the first few blots in every Masechta. So this is one of the first Dafim, I think this is Dabdalit or something, beginning of Ksubas, this in all the Yeshivas. Everybody should know this Tosfos. Unfortunately, they don't know it. So Tosfos quotes from the Baal Halachas Gedolos that the only time we say Halacha Kedera Mekel Ba'ovil, if it's a Machlokes HaTanoi, Machlokes HaLibe De Nafshayu. One Tana holds like this, the other Tana holds like that. But if you have a Machlokes HaMaroim, how to read the Tanoim? So you can't say Elvi Elvi Divi L'Kim Chaim. Abai V'Rabba have a Machlokes, what did Rav Meir say? Either Rav Meir said that or Rav Meir said that. He didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. So the one who's wrong is wrong. If you have a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how to read a Gemara? You have a machlekes what the Girsa is. So the one who's wrong is dead wrong. You can't say Elu El Divi L'Kim Chaim, and it constitutes a Midas Chassidus to be machmer for the opinion that's not accepted. The opinion that's not accepted is wrong. Is dead wrong. That's what Rashi and Tosfos write in the middle of Ksubas, that you don't say Elu El Divi L'Kim Chaim unless there's a machlekes Haliba de Nafshayu, with two mandarmim have two different opinions about what the halacha should be. But if they're arguing what did someone else say, how do you read Rav Meir, how do you read the Gemara? So then the one who's wrong is dead wrong. So there's room to argue the point and say that since you can't apply Eile V'Eile Divi L'Kim Chaim to such a machlekes, so it does make sense to be choshish for the Shita Sayachit. But if you have a machlekes HaTanoim, then it would make sense. There was a period of time. Mishkan Es Yankiv was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner from the first group of Talmidim who learned in Volozhiner Yeshiva. Volozhiner Yeshiva was founded by Rav Chaim Volozhiner in 1801 in the city of Volozhin. So the Mishkan Es Yankiv has in one of his tshuvas, he had a whole correspondence with Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis about Olei Reuven in Europe. He was gunning out to Aser Olei Reuven. And the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, was from Poland, so he was from Brod, so he was Miyashiv the Minig, why we all rely on Eruvin. So in the middle of the tshuva, the Mishkan Es Yankiv, he has a footnote in the middle of the tshuva, and he writes a historical comment that the Hasidi Ashkenaz introduced a new theme into Psak Halacha, that until the days of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, that was the time of the Maharam Rutmerg, the end of the period of the Baalei HaTosfos, so the Ashkenazim followed Ashkenazi Psak, and the Sfardim followed the Sfardi Psak, and that's it. Everybody felt like the Democrats voted Democrat, and the Republicans voted Republican, and that's it. And then the Chassid Ashkenaz introduced a new theme into Psak Halacha. You should always try to observe the Dinim in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So you have this quite a few times in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishkan Esanko just mentions it in Gete Reuven. But you have it a few times in Shulchan Aruch. They have Chumras from the Maharam Rutenberg. It's over 10 cases you have. Two of the more famous ones are, on the second night, Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes where they say Shechyanu and Kiddush or not, because it's a Yom Arichta, so maybe he said Shechyanu last night, maybe not supposed to say Shechyanu on the second day. So the Maram Rutmerg recommended you should have a Pri Chodosh or a Beged Chodosh, so for sure the Shechyanu should not be a Brachel of Atol. And then you have in Hilchas Challah, there's a machlokes Hatanayim and a machlokes Hatapaskin. What if you mix flour, instead of mixing with water, you mix it with juices? He only used made peris, he didn't use any water. So was that chai b'challah or not? So that was an old machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes harishanim in the earlier generations, machlekes harishanim in the later generations. So the Maharam Rutenberg has the chumra from the Hasidic Ashkenaz. You should never mix flour with made peris unless you mix in a significant amount of water. So for sure it's chai b'challah. So you can be mafish challah with a broth. And they have more than 10 cases where the Shulchan Aruch quotes such a thing. So this was a theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz to be choshish for the other opinion. You have that in the Mishnayos, in Beitza I mentioned before, that it does constitute a midas Hasidus to be choshish for the opinion, even though we clearly do not accept that opinion. It's considered a suffix called hu, and there is room, there is such a midas Hasidus. I never remember the following occurrence, but I was told that this would happen very often. This is before my time. If Rabbi Moshe Feinstein would be at a wedding together with Rabbi Lezer Silver, Rabbi Lezer Silver was a colorful individual, so Rabbi Moshe Feinstein would take a ksuba, a printed ksuba, and fill in the names and the date. So Rabbi Lezer Silver would fly in from Cincinnati, and he would see the ksuba, and he would rip it up, make a public, rip it up, and he would write a new ksuba by hand. Because there's one opinion in the Mishnah in Gitna, we don't paskin like Rav Yehuda's opinion, that min haTorah only a get needs ksiva lishma. A get and another two shtoris need ksiva lishma. So you don't have, when a couple gets divorced, you don't have a printed text of a get and you just fill in the names. The whole get has to be written lishma. So Rav Yehuda has a chumra in the Mishnah, which we don't paskin like, that even in shtori mamen, there's a gzera midrabbanan, also has to be written lishma. You can't use a form. So he thought that it's proper to be machmer for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So I was told that Rabbi Moshe would just sit there. He wouldn't say boo. But Rabbi Moshe published tshuvas. So one of Rabbi Moshe's tshuvas, in Nigras Moshe, he writes about this inyan. Doesn't make sense to be machmer. He doesn't say what he's referring to. I would never have known what it's all about. But Rabbi Alper told me this. And this Alper told us the background. So Rabbi Moshe writes, and it doesn't make sense to be machmer for the Tana Rabbi Yehuda regarding a ksuga, because he was outvoted, and there were omdu l'minyan. If you have a machloikas hatanoim who lived in different countries, different cities, they were never face to face arguing it out. So then there's an inyan to be choshish for the shita sayochet. But if there were omdu l'minyan that were sitting together, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was outvoted, so then there isn't any midas chasidus at all to be choshish for that opinion. This is how the Mishkan Es Yankev writes in his Sefer on Brachas, and the Koheles Yankev also on Daf Yud Aleph and Brachas. He says the Gemara has an expression, Beshamay b'mokem beshilo ena mishnah. When it's a machleg b'shamay sil, we totally ignore Beshamay shita. If Beshamay is mekel, you can't rely on Beshamay by orla b'chutz loretz. In Hilchas Avelus, there's no minas chasidus to be machmad like Beishamai. Was it Beishamai erger from any other machlokes? There is an inyan, there is a minas chasidus to be choshish for Shita Sayochan. So why is Beishamai worse than anybody else? So the Mishkan Es Yankev in the Sefer explains, because Beishamai and Beisil were together, they were omdu l'minyan and they were outvoted. So then, since it's outvoted, they were omdu l'minyan and outvoted, so then you totally ignore that Shita. The Gemara talks about chumris, even when it's not that you're choshish for a certain shita. Let's say there's no shita in the world that says like that. We wait 6 hours. Some people wait 1 hour, whatever, 3 hours, 6 hours between fleshiks and milk. Gemara has one of the Amorim used to wait 24 hours. And his son says, how do I compare to my father? I'm a chalala bar chamra. I'm like vinegar, my father's like wine, and I'm like wine that's soured. I only wait 6 hours. My father was a holy tzaddik, he would wait 24 hours. What's the din of waiting 24 hours between fleshiks and milchas? There is no such din. So you see that there's a midas chasidus, even not to be choshish for a certain shita. There is such a midas chasidus based on that mesilas yisharim that mishmartem es mishmati asum mishmeres lemishmati. So the father was on a madrega. The son could have also waited 24 hours. He wasn't so hungry for the ice cream or for the pizza. Could have also waited 24 hours. The son felt he's not on a madrega like the father. He says it just wouldn't make sense for me to observe such a midas chasidus. He says, I am like vinegar, the gabi my father who is like wine. If a person wants to observe a midas chasidus, he has to be a baruch, he has to be on that madrega. He's not on the madrega, so it doesn't make sense that he should observe such a midas chasidus. It's just like Moshe l'madav adayma, the Gemara in Saita has such an expression. Let's say, when a woman is all dressed up in chasana clothing, a beautiful dress, then she puts on jewelry, then she even looks better than before. What if she's just wearing pajamas and she puts on jewelry? So the jewelry makes her look ridiculous. If you're wearing fancy clothing and then you wear jewelry, then the Gemara says it looks better. So a person is not so observant. He's not so nizer in all the dinim. So he's going to be machmer amidas chasidus. So the son felt it doesn't make sense for me to observe amidas chasidus. My father was on a madrega. To him it made sense. Chamavadya considers this a problem, the following thing a problem. We observe Avelus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash starting from Shivasa B'Tammuz and then more serious Avelus starting from Rosh Chodesh Av. And the Gemara says, that's a machlokes HaTanan, we don't paskin like that. We paskin the Avelus on the beginning, Shavu Shechal by Tisha B'Av, and that's all. We observe a Chumra, we don't have Basa B'Yayin in the 9 days. And in the days of the Gemara, they never had that. So what would be Machmer against the Gemara? So he quotes the Paskim, say, we're not Cholek on the Gemara. There's an inyan to Bimis Abel on the Beis HaMikdash. The Chachamim never required it, but if a person wants to volunteer on his own, fine. And if the community wants to adopt such a meaning, it's fine. So we're observing more Avelus over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's not considered that you Cholek ala Gemara. Sometimes the Gemara has that it's not proper. This Chacham Avadya has he was incorrectly described as a mekel in the newspapers after he passed away. They described him as a big mekel, and that was his greatness. It was a big mekel. He wasn't a mekel. He had a lot of wild chumers. He felt he has in his tshuvas a whole essay more than once that it's not, if something is mutter, so it doesn't make sense to introduce chumers. And mutter is mutter. So he quotes a lot of sources for that. So he quotes, one of the sources he quotes is, those who learned Yeridaya will remember, it says, if Chaza falls into his bottle b'shishim, so it's mutter to you. So what if a person wants to observe a midas chasidus, he doesn't want to eat the soup. He knows it has a little Chaz schmaltz in it. He doesn't want to eat the soup based on bittel b'shishim. So there's a machleik in Sachrenim. So some Adis of the Heter, that was one of the Rabbeinu Yoyin Ashkenazi, Adis of the Heter says that's okay. If you want to observe such a midas chasidus, it makes sense. And we don't accept that. The accepted opinion, they don't even quote that Isa v'heta. Chacham Avadya quotes it. And Yeridaya, they don't want you to know that there's such an opinion. So in Yeridaya, they say that's a chashash apikursis. If the din is that the chazav is bottle b'shishim and you don't want to eat it, so that's a chashash minus. The halacha says is mutter, there's nothing to be machma for. Or Chacham Avadya quotes also, there were communities where when the women had a baby, they would wait to go to mikveh till after, if it was a baby boy, they would wait till after the 40 days were up. If a baby girl, they would wait till after the 80 days are up. The whole malos is up. So what is that based on? So the Rambam complains that the Karoim had such a practice because the Karaites mistranslated the Pasuk. They didn't have the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Pasuk says if the woman has a baby boy, she's Tameya for the first 7 days. And then the next 33 days, Teishev b'demei tohara. She has a baby girl, so she's Tameya for the first 14 days. And then the next 66 days, also Teishev b'demei tohara. So how do you translate Teishev b'demei tohara? So the tradition, the Torah Shebal Peh has a tradition, it means, even if the woman has a riyas dam in the 66 days, after the baby is born, she's tohara. Minat Torah. We have chumras, the Gemara says we don't do that, but minat Torah, she's tohara. So the Karaites interpreted fakert. Even if the woman has dam tohor, even if she has brown dam, brown ria, teishei b'dmei tohara, it's l'chumra. So the karoim introduced the minig. You don't let the woman go to mikveh till after the 40 days are up or the 80 days are up. So the Rambam is eish lahava against this minig. He says it's a minig karoim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes such a minig and he defends it. He explains how it is correct, what it's based on. Those who have such a minig, that has a holy source, has a good source. But the Ramah says, if your community doesn't have that minig, don't adopt it, because there was such a minig that the Rambam attacked because of the Karaim. So Chacham Avadya quotes the Achrayim who were opposed to that minig. They say that one should not adopt such a minig to wait till after the 80 days are up, because that's a minig Karaim. That's not proper to adopt such a minig. It's conveying the wrong impression that you're reading pshat in the pasuk, false pshat. Or there's a Mishnah in the first perek in Brachas where the Mishnah quotes a machloikas b'sham and b'silol. What position should a person be in when he recites Kriya Shema? So b'sham I say b'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha. In the evening you have to recite Kriya Shema in a reclining position. B'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha. In the morning you have to recite Kriya Shema in a standing position. B'silol disagree and they say that's not what it means. B'shach b'cha means you have to recite Kriya Shema when normal people are going to sleep. U'v'kumecha, you have to recite Kriya Shema when normal people are waking up, but it has nothing to do with what position you should be in when you're reciting Kriya Shema. So the Mishnah records that Reb Tarfon apparently used to follow Beis Shammai on occasion. The Gemara in Yevamah says Reb Tarfon was from the Beis Shammai. So on one occasion he was traveling on a highway and it was a sakana to stop. There were a lot of gangsters on the highway and he brags, he was Moshe Nefesh, it was nighttime and had a Damairev, so he reclined in order to say Kriya Shema in a reclining position. So the other Tanaim said, Kedai Hayisa Lachov Le'atzmecha, if they would have killed you, you would have deserved it, because not only because you put yourself in a Mokam Sakona, you're not supposed to be Machma like Beshama, we don't pass like Beshama, so you did wrong. So Tosis is bothered with the Kasha, what's wrong? But the other fellow who was machma like Beshamai, the Talmud from the Bishamai was machma like the Beshamai to go back. He ate the sandwich here and he went back home by mistake and then he was machma to go back. So he was rewarded and he found a wallet full of money. So what's so bad if Reb Tarfon is machma like the Beshamai? So Tosfos says there are two kinds of chumras. Going back to bench in the same location, even Basilil agreed that that's the more correct thing to do. Except Basilil holds, if by mistake you left your original location where you ate, we're not machma so much. But the Basilil will agree, if you do go back, you have a key of my mitzvah. You did the right thing. You benched because I'm Muslim, the Mokam Achila, Mashaini came here. If you'll be machma like Beishamai, you're demonstrating false pshat in the pasuk. We don't accept Beishamai's translation. B'shach b'cha does not mean in a reclining position. B'shach b'cha means the zman to recite Kriya Shema. You should recite Kriya Shema when normal people are going to sleep. It has nothing to do with what position you should be in. What bodily position should you have at the time of reciting Kriya Shema? So Tosfos claims that's such a chumrah, to observe a chumrah, where the accepted opinion learns pshat in the pasuk one way, and the opinion that you're going to be choshish for is reading a different pshat in the pasuk, so we should not observe such a chumrah. That's falsh galayim pshat and chumash. That's not correct to observe such a chumrah. That's how Tosfos says. The Mesillas Yesharim talks about the same kasha. How come the Talmud of the Basila who went back to bench Bimkoma, who was rewarded min hashamayim, and he found a wallet full of money, and Reb Tarfon was not rewarded? Why did they condemn him for being machmer like the Beis Shammai? See, he doesn't quote Tosfos' answer. He gives a different answer. He says, this machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, was such an obvious machlokes, it was ripping apart all the communities, the people in shul. Half the people, when it came out, half the people would lay down on the floor. Or the people who were standing up in shul, they would sit down and recline in order to say Kriya Shema at night. Then in the morning, half the people in shul would stand up in order to fulfill Kriya Shema Bamido, to stand up. And the normal people of Fala Basil would not stand up. So this was ripping apart the community. So that was not right. To be machmer like Beis Shammai and to fuel the machlekes, to maintain the machlekes in such a obvious fashion. So that's an improper thing. You want to be machmer, midas chasidus for a shita sayochid, that's not accepted in the hechateisa. But not in such a demonstrative fashion. When a machlokes is going on, you're just fueling the machlokes. You're showing that half the people are doing wrong. Chacham Avadya is very fond of quoting a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. He quotes in a few of his Jews. Tosfos Lamed Vav Amud Aleph talks about Shem and Akum. If a goy cooks kosher soup in his treifa pot, So if it's within 24 hours after he cooked the treif, so the soup is going to become treif. Blias kelim alasa, tam kika is going to asa. So the Mishnah has that originally the psak hamakubal was, the accepted psak was that if a guy cooks oil, shemen, in a treif a keli, so it's also a treif. The shemen is treif because it has a bliya from the treifus in the pot. And then Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya lived in the days of the Amoraim during the lifetime of Abai Verova, a little before Abai Verova. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya hita shemen akum. He passed him that it's mutter, and the reason why the Gemara explains is because it's nice and tam levgam. Because the chazah shmalz, when it gets blended into the shemen zayis, so the oil will not taste as good as it did before. It'll still be edible, still be royal achil, it'll still be delicious, but it would have tasted better if it would have not had the flavor of the chazah shmalz in it. So that's what we call nosim tam levgam. So that's bottled. You don't even need shishim, that's going to be bottled. So the Rishalmi records, Tosis and all the Rishalmi quotes, the Rishalmi records that at the time that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya came up with this heter, Rabbi Shmuel had a machlokes, should we accept the heter? Rabbi Shmuel lived in Bava, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya lived in Eretz Yisrael. So someone came from Eretz Yisrael and they said, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was mekel on the Shemen Akum, you're allowed to use it. So Shmuel accepted the kula. He said, the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael paskin lehokel, so we're going to be mekel. And Rab didn't want to accept the heter. So Shmuel told Rav, you better eat the Shemen Akum, and if not, I'm going to write to the public that you have a din of a Zaka Mamre. You're not allowed to be Machmer. So Chaim Avadya quotes this as a raya, if something is Mutter, you're not allowed to be Machmer. The Poshep Shat in the Rishonli is not like Chaim Avadya. The Poshep Shat is, if the chief rabbi paskins, there's a din of Zaka Mamre, if the Bez Nagodol paskins something, so no one's allowed to paskin against the Bez Nagodol. So even though the Bez Nagodol didn't have its full status the last 40 years before the Churban Habayis, because they left the Lishkas Hagazis, the Gemara says there's a din men HaTorah, the Bez Nagodol, the Sanhedrin is supposed to meet their official location. The office is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash and the Lishkas Hagazis. So 40 years before the Churban Bayisheni, we assume the Churban Bayisheni is around the year 70. So 40 years before the Churban Bayisheni, the Sanhedrin went into Golis, they were no longer in the Lishkas Hagazis. So they didn't have the full status of a Sanhedrin Gdol. But for certain dinim, they did have the din of Sanhedrin Gdol. So that's what Shmuel told Rav, you better not argue with the psak of the chief rabbi, because sof kol sof, he is the chief rabbi. There is a shtikl Sanhedrin, they don't have the full din of Zaka Mamre, but he is the chief rabbi. So that's not right. You can't paskin in public against the chief rabbi, because that's an issue of Zaka Mamre. That's the poshep shot in the Gemara. It's not that they're telling him you're not allowed to be machmer, something is muta. There was a machlokes, but the noisin tam levgam is also a muta. So he's entitled to hold lechumer, but once the chief rabbi paskins lehokel, doesn't mean the present chief rabbi means. So flexan a chief rabbi with his hand, so he said, that's not right. The poskim point out there is a Gemara in the end of Perek Merubah, the seventh Perek in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara tells the story that one of the Chachamim was machmer a certain personal chumer, something was strictly speaking was mutter, and he was machmer it in the presence of his Rebbe. So the Gemara says we should put the guy in cherem. He's observing a chumer in the presence of his Rebbe, knowing that the Rebbe doesn't observe the chumer. That's a chutzpah. You want to observe a chumer, that's like sofik, it's amidas chasidus of sofik deraisa lechumer. There isn't really a sofik, it's really mutter, but amidas chasidus. But there's a din, you're not allowed to be mevaza the Rebbe. So the Gemara says, if not for the fact that that Talmud was such a mefursim dikat tzaddik, they would have put him in cherem. So the Yamshel Shlomo says in that Gemara, you see from this Gemara, if one wants to observe a chumra and his Rebbe doesn't observe it, he's not allowed to observe that chumra in the presence of the Rebbe. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes this from the Yamshel Shlomo, and he says, take for example, meikar adin. We assume that it's not required to stand in shul during Kriyas HaTorah. Everyone is permitted to sit. But the Maharam Rutenberg observed the Midas Chassidus. He used to stand out of Kavod HaTorah. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, it would appear from the tshuvas of the Maharam that he didn't tell the Balabatim that they have to stand. Not that he held Yimachuyiv to stand. He personally stood. But Mikra Adin, he also held that it's mutter to sit. So Rav Moshe writes, what if someone is in a shul? Yeshiva Bachan like to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, but the rabbi in the shul doesn't stand. See, if the rabbi is 98 years old and he used to stand, and now he doesn't stand, it's a different story. Rabbi Breuer didn't stand, but Rabbi Schwab did stand during Kriyas HaTorah. So the rabbi is an old man, of course he doesn't stand. He can't stand. I live near Breuer's shul. But if the rabbi is young and healthy, and the rabbi is sitting, so it's a bizoyin atara that the yeshiva bacha is going to come to the shul, and the madasa sits, and the yeshiva bacha is going to stand. So Rav Moshe says that you're not allowed to do. Sometimes you want to observe a midas chasidus, but if it's going to be goyrim bizoyin atara, that you're not permitted to do. Or the Ramah has also like that. The Ramah has many times in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says something is mut, and the Ramah says we are machmir, and if it's a makam hefzid meruba, then we are mekel. So what kind of a din is that? If it's osir, so why does it become mut of a makam hefzid meruba? So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Kemat says, beferish in the Ramah, in the Sefer Torah Schatos, in the introduction to Torah Schatos, he almost says it explicitly, that whenever the Ramah, the Ramah himself wrote the Torah Chatas. So he writes this explanation of this concept. What do you mean? We're machmir on something, and we're makam hefzid meruba, it's mutter. So the Pashup Shat is, mi'ikar adin, it's really mutter. There's a machlokes of Rishonim. So mi'ikar adin, we pass the mutter. But out of respect for the Rambam, who says us, out of respect for the Rashbo, out of respect for the Rabbi Natam, there's some minority opinion that says that it's usr. So out of respect for that, Shita Sayachid, so we want to show Kovat Talmid HaChachamim. So we'll throw out $5 worth of flesh, out of respect, but it's going to be $100 worth of flesh, and then it's a hefzid mammon. So the hefzid mammon is outweighs the kovat talmid chacham. There's a limit how far you mechuyev to be mechabit talmid chacham. So to throw out $5 worth of flesh, okay, mechabit talmid chacham, throw out $5 and say that is treif. But there's no mitzvah to be mechabit the Rashbo, whom we don't paskin like, to mechabit him to asa the flesh at the expense of throwing out $100 if it's a hefzid meruba. Well, let's say, for example, you don't want to eat the hema shahara b'chacham. So let's say there's a shailan hilchas nida, and nerov kvetch doisa heta. So the husband wants to have a midas chasidus. He wants to be machmer behema shahara b'chacham. Not that his wife is a behema, but the same concept applies. The pasuk called it behema shahara b'chacham means whenever there was a shaila, and they had a kvetch doisa heta. So strictly speaking, his mutter said, so there's an inyan amidas chasidus to be mach. But his wife is not interested in being mach. The wife wants to have a husband. She's not interested. So that's not fair. The husband has no right to prab amidas chasidus at the expense of the wife. The wife wants to be with her husband. So the post can say that's not permissible. I remember there was a period of time that I was the rabbi in the branch of Breuer's shul in Paramus. Kala Das Shul in Paramus. So every couple of months I had to speak with Rabbi Schwab about different issues that came up in the shul, in the branch of the shul in Paramus. So I remember on one occasion I was visiting Rabbi Schwab, and he was asking me, do I know who a certain person is? Do I know who so-and-so is? So I said, yeah. And I start telling, I know who he, I don't know him personally, I know he's a single fellow, and he's learning a Lubavitcher Yeshiva in Montreal. So Rabbi Schwab says, he darn tootin' single. Who's going to want to marry the Meshuggah? He just wrote a whole sefer that a woman is not allowed to wear a shekel. She has to wear davka tichel. That's ridiculous. The guy's never going to find a shidduch. So he was telling me, the klal is that when you're in Rabbanus, you have to learn to live with certain kulas. So he says, he encourages all the women, it's really a kula to wear a shekel. More correct is to wear a tichel. And Chacham Avadya, every single year, would always write a kol kore that the women are not allowed to wear a shekel. They have to wear a tichel, they have to wear a hat, they have to wear a tichel, not allowed to wear a shekel. His daughter just spoke in yeshiva this week, she was wearing a big hat, she wasn't wearing a shekel. He was only makel to wear a shekel if a woman is a grusha and it's difficult for panasa, so then he's makel, he can allow her to wear a shekel. But if a woman is really married and it's a real din deraisa, she has to cover her hair, he was not makel on a shekel. So Rabbi Schwab said, when a Rabbanus, you have to learn to live with certain kulas, because we're going to be machmir, then you're going to lose everything. You have to make life livable. So that's also a klal. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to introduce too many chumas. Life will be impossible. I remember there was a student in the NCSY learning program in the summertime. A high school student. So he respected all the rabbis there. So he heard that one rabbi does need veal, so he decided he's not going to eat veal. He heard another rabbi does need turkey, so he decided he's not going to eat turkey. Turkey is an issue. We said before that the Ramah quotes the Chumar from the Yisavaheta from Rashi. You shouldn't eat any birds based on simanim, only if you have a masorah. So there never was a masorah on turkey. Turkey in Europe, they never had turkey. Columbus brought it back from America. So they never had a masorah. So when Columbus brought it back to Spain, So the Sfardim don't have that chumrah. So the Sfardim were eating turkey for 50 years based on the simonim. Has all the simonim of a kosher bread. Then the Ashkenazim said, look, the Sfardim are eating the turkey. It must be kosher. Yeah, of course it's kosher, but there never was a masorah on it. So the Ashkenazim started eating. And then they woke up later, 100 years later, what's going on? Why is everybody eating turkey? So some Megdolim Takkin said, you shouldn't eat turkey. They quote in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shalos descendants don't eat turkey. There's one Rebbe in Yeshiva, Rabbi David Hurwitz. He's a descendant of the Shalom. Shalom's name was Hurwitz. So he says there are cousins of his that eat chazer on Yom Kippur, but turkey? That's how it's going. Turkey. You can't eat turkey in Shalom. The descendants from the Shalom. So this boy, this high school student here, this Rebbe doesn't eat turkey, he's not going to eat turkey. This Rebbe doesn't eat veal, he's not going to eat veal. The other Rebbe doesn't drink milk, he's not going to drink milk or cheese. The other Rebbe doesn't eat paspalter. Bread that's baked by the baker, by a non-Jewish baker, he doesn't eat. So the kid came home, he made his parents crazy. So the parents went along, I don't know why the parents went along, with anything, everything, until it became so impossible. They just had to take him to a therapist. So the kid didn't want to visit by his grandparents, because the grandparents were Shomer Shabbos all their lives. They were the founders of a Jewish community. The kid wouldn't visit by the grandparents because they have turkey and they have veal and they have milk and they have cheese and they have paspalta. Everything that's kosher they ate. Sometimes a person piles on so many chumras, so he's in violation of Kibbut Aviyim. There is a din. You have the pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, you have to show Kibbut Aviyim, but if not if it's in violation of Shabbos Tishmaru. Let's say my father asks me, I should make him a cup of coffee on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. I don't have it. So you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So you don't say you're allowed to cook for the purpose of Kibbut Aviyim. You're not permitted to violate a Nisa Deraisa. You're not permitted to violate a Nisa Derabbana for Kibbut Aviyim. You're not permitted to violate even a minig. Let's say the mother passed away and the son is saying Kaddish and the father says, you're giving me the heebie-jeebies, I don't want you to say Kaddish. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the father has no right to ask that. That's a minig all over, universal minig. Everybody says Kaddish. When the mother passed away, the father has no right to say, give me the heebie-jeebies, don't say Kaddish. But let's say the father wants to eat lunch with the son and it's Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. So how many people fast Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni? Even the people who say Yislichas, but most of them don't fast. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, if the mitam kibarav, the father needs the son to eat with him, the son should not fast Sheni Machamisha Visheni. That's a meaning that's not so common. So Mishum kibarav yeim, you should give in. So here you're talking about chumris. The son wants to absorb all his chumris and is causing grief to the parents. There's a din of kibarav yeim that takes precedence over all of these chumris. He's not permitted to observe these chumris. There used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva years ago. I was friendly with his children. So the Rebbe never said this in the Yeshiva, but one of his sons told us that his father once said at home, every human being has Mishigasim. Rashi had Mishigasim, the Rabbein and Tam had Mishigasim. Human beings, Rabbein and Tam, Rama had Mishigasim. The Mishugan is the one who collects everybody's Mishigasim. This mom is this kid. He didn't eat veal, and he didn't eat turkey, and he didn't eat paspalta, and he wouldn't eat the milk and the cheese. Everything is awesome. That's a Mishugan. That's Aksil B'chay Shecholach, the person who adapts all of the chumras. If a person is on the Madrega, and it makes sense to observe Amidas Chassidus, and then sometimes Amidas Chassidus makes sense to be choshish for a Shita Sayachah that we don't accept. Sometimes it makes sense to make a personal chumash, Shmartam Es Mishmarti, I'm afraid I'm going to fall in. And if I did once fall in, so for sure it makes sense I should adopt a personal chumash. And even if it's not falling in, if there's a kiyum, if there's a kiyum in observing a chumash, but if the person is not on the madrega, he's not so medactic and everything else. Well, all of a sudden, he's not going to eat the turkey, but the chazron yom kippur he will eat. So well, what's the midas chassidus not to eat the turkey? It's a chumrah of Rashi not to eat any bird based on simonim. You have to have a maser. That doesn't make sense. I personally don't spend $160 on an esrog. I spend $40 and I get an esrog mehudar, and the rest of the money I give the tzedakah. People are makbid so much, they spend fortunes of money on an esrog, they spend fortunes of money on glatt kosher and all kinds of chumras, and that's a chumra hamavili de kula. So they have less money to give the tzedakah, and there are people who are starving. There are Jewish people in the world who are starving. So what are you wasting all of your money on your chumras for? Buy something that's kosher and give the extra. You have money to burn, so give it to the aniyim. Why are you spending your money on your chumras? It has to be with a cheshbon. There is room for chumras. but it has to be with Seichel. Afriyah Lechem Chanukah.